Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word now, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak and draw us near to your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Like all students, seminarians get graded. And when I was at college, our preaching was not only assessed by our tutors, but also by our peers. Now, the first round for me wasn't too bad because they simply show up, sit in the congregation, and then you get feedback later. The second round was a little more painful because this time they videoed me preaching, and then I had to sit down that week with my tutor and my peers and watch myself preach. And I wanted the ground to swallow me up as I saw my peculiar quirks and the things that I would have changed and done differently. Receiving feedback is not always easy. Some of us cringe at the thought we've been observed or evaluated. Blood pressures rise when it's time for report cards, annual reviews, parent-teacher conferences, performance evaluations. Whatever form the feedback takes, it takes some humility and courage to hear, receive, and take on board the assessments of others. Hearing a word from God, a word of feedback from God, is in some ways similar and in some ways different. God sees and knows the true depths of our hearts. Nothing is hidden from him. Now, the gospel encourages us and reminds us that no matter what we've done, we can be made clean through the cross. The gospel teaches us that God is kind, forgiving. He loves us intimately as our Heavenly Father. Yet even so, sometimes the word of God contains within it a little bit of challenge, maybe a word of discipline. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." To become who God wants us to be, we need to know his forgiveness, trust in his love, and walk in his ways. But it also means honestly facing those parts of us that aren't quite how he wants us to live. And sometimes God's word pierces right into those places and reveals the things we'd rather keep hidden. It brings light into the darkness and exposes our sin. It reveals our true motives, maybe more self-seeking than we really want to admit. Receiving a word from God about our lives and how they aren't quite as they should be, that is feedback on a whole other level. Generally, I think we're much better at receiving a word from God like this for somebody else, you know? If only my son could hear this sermon. If only my daughter had heard this. If only my husband or my wife. That would sort them out. We're less inclined to hear the word, the challenging word of God for us. In Amos 7, we find that God's word, as proclaimed by Amos, was certainly not well received by Amaziah. Amaziah was a priest of Israel, which had recently separated from Judah a few generations after King David and Solomon. And Amaziah served under the authority of King Jeroboam, who was intent on setting up a religious system that would rival and be separate to David's line and his grandson, who was the king. The message that God gave to Amos for Amaziah and for the people of Israel is no easy reading. If you flick through Amos, you find that Israel has denied justice to the oppressed, those who are poor and alone, helpless, with no one to advocate on their behalf. In chapter 5, we find that those with wealth and property have taken from those without and have exploited them. Those in positions of power have taken bribes and manipulated the courts to earn their favor rather than pursuing justice and equity for all. In chapter 6, we discover that the people have gotten fat with complacency and indulgence. that they're focusing on filling their homes with fine furniture and feasting on choice steaks and good wine, rather than paying attention to the needs of the weak and the vulnerable. Yes, they were fulfilling their religious offerings, their tithes, their sacrifices. But as Amos 4, verse 5 tells us, they did it to boast in their religiosity, in their pride, in their self-righteousness, rather than out of loyalty to God because of what he has done for them. Israel was quick to rejoice in the judgment of the nations around them, but unwilling to repent themselves. Even with suffering after suffering, plague and famine, they would not learn. Israel was prideful, selfish, unjust, and neglected the poor and the vulnerable in their midst. And Amaziah, frankly, is tired of this message. It's too much. He responds by reporting to the king that Amos is a threat to the throne and working a conspiracy. And then he tells Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go far from here." And he tries to silence Amos by removing him from Israel. "Go home. Go back to your people. Earn your bread there. Make your money there. Don't complain to us. Don't whine to us." Why? And notice Amaziah doesn't say, "It is because this is the temple of God and God is at work here and you are sinning against God." No. Amaziah says, "This is the king's sanctuary. This is the temple of the kingdom. And you are a threat to Jeroboam." He politicizes Amos' message and makes him out to be a threat. "You're not just challenging our behavior, you're undermining the government." But Amos is undeterred. He knows the God who intervenes, who is real, who took him from a mundane life, who called him and sent him and gave him words to speak. Amos knows that he answers to a much higher authority than any leader or official. I wonder what your response is when you hear a word from the Lord that is a little more stick than carrot. Maybe it's the word, maybe you hear God's words through the voice of a spouse, a friend, a therapist, a co-worker. Maybe it's as you read the words of scripture that you'd rather avoid when you come across something that nudges at your conscience. When God, by his Spirit, speaks, and we don't want to hear the uncomfortable truth of our selfishness, our hardness of heart, our tribalism, our unforgiveness, our unwillingness to act on behalf of the weak and the vulnerable and see them with the compassion and empathy they deserve. What do you do? How do you respond? Do you ever follow Amaziah's example? Do you misrepresent the messenger? Maybe slander their name, maybe politicize their message? Do you shut them down and send them away? "You don't belong here. This is not your area of expertise." Do we claim to a human authority? "You're being disrespectful, transgressing social order, saying the unsayable." The people in Jeroboam's kingdom thought they were fine. They were successful. They were wealthy. They were religiously observant. They were all good, right? But the Bible makes clear from start to finish, religiosity is no measure of righteousness. Jesus himself labored against the religious know-it-alls, those who were concerned with the minutiae of the law rather than its heart. Those who are caught up with power games, positioning, and not losing their reputation. If we think we're on solid ground because we show up on Sundays, we need to come to know the Jesus of the Gospels again and hear the words of James in chapter 1, verse 27. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." God desires mercy, not ritual sacrifice. Acting in kindness and selflessness, not religious observance. Our righteousness is not ours because we deserve it. It's ours because of the cross. It's ours because God willed it to be so. And those who claim but to the cross of Christ are called by the very same cross to lay aside our pride, our complacency, our religiosity, and our self-indulgence. We are called to put off our old self of sin and put on the new self of righteousness. We are called to die to ourselves, our own ambitions, religious or otherwise, and to follow Jesus, to show mercy as we have been shown mercy. We are called to be a people who acts mercifully and justly with compassion and care, people whose priorities reflect God's priorities. Amaziah's response to the word of God by Amos was, "Get out, you seer." He did not want to hear God, nor how far Israel had strayed from their relationship with him, certainly not at the expense of his way of life, his politics, his securities. When we as Christians hear God's word, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us, may we have the humility and the courage to say, "Come in." May we not hide behind the world's ways, but take seriously the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be unafraid to face the reality of our sin, the corruption in our lives, and its impact on those around us. May we be willing to repent and know once again the judgment that God has taken on our behalf on the cross. May we learn to put aside our destructive and prideful ways and hear God's call to us to care for the orphan, the widow, the alien, to seek justice, to learn the ethics of God's kingdom and not one of any human origin. Amen.